When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
4 o'clock hour on a celebratory Friday, and then we'll have all next week to get ready for it. 1 week from Monday, Hard Rock Stadium, probably the priciest ticket in South Florida in a long while. I'm guessing since the Big Three, but even like the Big Three NBA Finals, you've got 7-game series. Not that you think they'll go 7, but you know you have multiple chances to get to a game. Although I guess the arena probably holds half of what Hard Rock does. But regardless, this is the toughest ticket in a minute.
I went to the finals game. There was nowhere close to $20,000 ticket. I was on like the fourth row.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be ridiculous. We've always said the Hurricanes or the Dolphins. They make it to a Super Bowl or a national championship game, the city's going to go nuts, and it is. I can tell you just based on our streaming numbers today. It's like people are voracious right now in their appetite for the Miami Hurricanes. Think about what it takes to knock a new general manager for the Miami Dolphins out of the conversation on a sports station.
Winning the national championship or going to it at least.
Going
does it.
To it.
I'm a Cane now. I'm a Cane for a couple more weeks. Y'all let me on the bus.
Ridiculous. I'm starting to have second thoughts about it.
For us, capital U.S., for us, but the way, seriously, the way they're going, the first college football playoffs, the number of games you have to play, the number of the great teams you're playing, it's not all the regular season and now we're going to let a computer or let a committee decide. You have to go beat 3-4 other teams that are really, really good as well. So it's not the old school way. This is a tougher way to win a national championship. And the first year, a part of it, they're going to it at least. Hopefully they win it.
So crazy. I saw someone tweet, I mean, they could literally win a national championship before they play in an ACC title game. Just wild. Absolutely wild.
Mario likes to do things different.
Yeah. Everyone in Miami. We like to zig when others zag. We're going to talk Canes. Gino Toretta was at the game last night. He is back. He has landed. He's going to join us this hour. So we'll talk about what he saw last night from the Miami Hurricanes. I want to do a cursory 15 minutes of heat here on WQAM. It's sponsored by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, their lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. Go ahead, Solana. What was your night like last night? I'm guessing, so the game was going to tip off at 8. You probably figured, okay, the game's going on. You do your preheat from 6:45 till 8. Game's going on, so you don't have to do as much on the broadcast side as when you're doing preheat. So you'll be able to watch the Canes game. And then you figure what? The Heat game would end about, what, 10:30 maybe? Oh, but then you'd have to do the post game. So actually, timing was never going to be great for you last night.
It was never going to be great, but I'll tell you what. You know, I was in the studio with Tommy, who clearly is just a massive sports fan. You know, like he enjoys the pomp and circumstance of a big event. And I'm next to Brittany, one of our producers, who's a massive Canes fan. So I was just prepared. There'd be emotion. We'd watch the game. I was going to be on the air till around 11:30, 11:45. I always am for an 8 o'clock start. Hawk. As the delay begins, we're thinking, okay, 20, 30 minutes. After the 60-minute mark, we're all sitting around saying, this is ridiculous. This game isn't going to be played. And Jax and Amy are rambling. Then they toss it back to us. Now we're rambling for 45 minutes talking about Tim Duncan being pulled in game 6 and why Pop would make that decision. We're talking about the acquisitions of Ray Allen and Shane Battier. Like, we're just talking Heat Bulls memories. And then we toss it back to Jackson Amy. We play like six pieces of audio that we have produced for times like this from before the season and into the fire stuff. It's over 120 minutes of the delay. We have not taken a commercial break yet. And the Hurricanes are in the middle of an all-out battle in the biggest football game any Miami team has played in over two decades. And the NBA still hasn't made any decision. And there's no update. Like, we're just in a holding pattern. The only thing we're getting is we're going to find out in 30 minutes. The 30-minute mark comes and the referee comes up to the podium. We'll find out in 20 minutes. The 20 minutes come and they delay it again and they delay it again until finally at around 10 o'clock. Yeah, 10 o'clock, the Heat players and the Bulls players just walk off the court. And there still wasn't a decision made. Truthfully, a bad look by the NBA yesterday because, Hawk, you have 20,000 people in the stands.
Yeah, well, you don't want to send them home without giving it the old college try to get the game underway.
Right, but just think about the process it takes. Crowder, I mean, before a game, you don't just show up to the stadium, put on your jersey, lace up your shoes, and go play. There's a stretch period
for these
guys.
Well, he did, but what did Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas do?
There's a shoot-around for 30 minutes. There's a walkthrough. Then they get stretched out. They get taped up. Then they go out there, and they go through layup lines, and then they play. Think about after 2 hours, Hawk, if they decided, okay, we are going to play.
I just wanted to know what your night was like with Tommy Tighe. I don't really give a crap about Giannis Jakaciunas having.
Should.
It's ridiculous. But I want to know, because I was watching, and I didn't even know this happened. Like, for 2 hours, it was literally Larry cutting the AC down and some guys with towels rubbing the floor.
It was over the entire court was covered with people with mops and towels.
Meanwhile, Tyler Hero and Benny the Bull are in a half-court shooting competition.
Benny the Bull beat him, by the way.
He made it.
Half-court backwards. Benny the Bull hits the first one, so Tyler bows out of the contest. He goes, well, I'm not going to do this. This is terrible.
I've seen that in real games out of Tyler.
The event staff blew up beach balls, and they threw them into the crowd. So now, like, Kalel Ware and Vucevic are playing, with the giant inflatable beach balls with the crowd. Like, it was just a joke for 2 hours.
Crowder, people want to know, are you in a crack house or are you on a stakeout?
Y'all be quiet. Person next door doesn't know I'm here. I am in Bradenton Days Inn.
But I know that you had an Airbnb, which was very nice. Yeah. And you've moved to a Days Inn because you said they couldn't extend the Airbnb. Do you have your family staying there as well, or are you just renting that for the 4 hours to do the radio show?
The reason I got it, I went to, you go to hotels.com, and I went from cheapest to most expensive. You have the little balls you move around, and I put them all the way down to zero. And so this popped up at $79 a night, and I said, well, that's my go-to. It's very sketchy. Asia came during one of the breaks, and she was like, yeah, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to leave the truck outside that long.
But, like, are you staying there tonight, or are you just doing the show there?
6:01, I'm in the truck.
Okay.
Headed to eat. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. In that instance, I'll give you the pass on that one because, surprisingly great Wi-Fi at this terrible hotel.
Hey, man, the Popeye's next door.
Are you on their network? What's your network's name? Chicken Sammy One.
There's a lot of Chinese food places and gun stores around here for some reason.
I gotcha. All right. Gino Toretta is going to join us this hour. So let's do headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. You had to get home last night just being so annoyed because you wasted a night. You literally just wasted a night.
Well, I'm still hoping to get paid for my my night, Len.
Len very helpful? I'm guessing you were in constant contact with him about what to do with the broadcast.
You know how it's done at WQAM, Hawk. Just constant communication. Everybody was in lockstep with one another. There's nothing to do there, though. You know, like you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. It was just dumb.
You know what after, was weird?
After 30, 60 minutes, like, just call it. Make a decision, you know? Just make a decision.
I had something last night. We went to, Ava had a basketball game, so we went and watched her play. We got out at like 8:15, so we went to Hooters, because not many places around here stay open late enough to finish the game. You know, Tampa, Sarasota area, they're Gator and Seminole fans. There are a lot of them up here.
Right.
So they were all cheering. They weren't cheering for Ole Miss. They were cheering against UM.
Right.
Which I thought was lame. I was like, and they kept asking me, like, aren't you a Gator? I'm like, yeah, but what the hell do I care about Ole Miss winning?
No, nah, because if it was like Ole Miss and FSU, I'd be rooting for Ole Miss.
Really? See, yeah. I'm the other way right now. Hell, if I can't make it, I'd rather somebody I know make it.
That's until I read these SEC stats, because let me tell you something.
What a weak conference.
The Canes improved to 4-0 against SEC and Big Ten schools this season, and for the third consecutive year, no SEC team will appear in the college football playoff championship game.
So interesting, because I've been told so many times how that's the dominant conference and half the conference could be the national champion. You know, before the season starts, everyone tells you that. But how many years in a row is that, Solana? I'm not certain everyone heard.
Not one, not two, three.
Huh. Let me just break something to you guys, you ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 people. The reason you're counting is because I think we won 18 of 20 before that. So you started counting for a reason.
Oh, I'm talking about this year, last year, year before.
Interesting. This damn NIL. I hate this transfer portal stuff. Let us get our monsters and keep them.
Now, I know we're Canes heavy, and the Dolphins do have a GM, but I do want to detour here because Tom Pelissero is reporting that Mike McDaniel is scheduled to interview for the Titans head coaching job next Wednesday. And he writes, there has been significant interest in McDaniel since Miami fired him on Thursday.
Interesting.
Don't do that.
Chance to work with Cam Ward? Come on.
Don't do that to Cam Ward.
I'm not so certain.
No, that's...
Somebody says great Wi-Fi at that hotel because none of the other guests have electronics. So you're not sharing the signal with anyone.
There are some questionable people walking outside.
And
I went to get some ice in the ice bucket. I really thought the ice machine was going to work for some reason in my mind.
The ice bucket. Can you imagine what's in that ice bucket?
It had the little plastic bag in it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to grab some ice. I have my sodas. There was no chance in the hell that this ice machine, it's outside. Yeah. Yeah. It's outdoors. It's not even inside.
That works well in Chicago. It does. Like, it's cold outside, and you can put the ice machine outside. It works too hard in South Florida or Central Florida, wherever you are.
This one was made in 1982. It's older than me.
And one more detour back to basketball. You guys saw Shams Charani reported the Grizzlies will entertain offers for Ja Morant ahead of the trade deadline.
I got a push notification that startled me during the show, and I think it was CBS Sports or Yahoo Sports, about Ja to the Heat.
Yeah, there was a report from Brett Siegel, who covers the NBA, that the Heat and I believe the Timberwolves were reportedly showing interest in a Ja Morant trade, a potential Ja Morant trade.
I'm in.
Oh, I love to see him in this offense.
Yeah, I'm in. Why not?
Aren't you just done with like the diva superstar and like the disgruntled player?
Well, but I don't think the Heat and Pat Riley allow them to be divas for too long. You saw like Jimmy tried it. Like, I don't think Riley would have as much patience with anyone moving forward as he did with Jimmy. I think Riley felt more like Riley at the end of that than he did during the middle of that.
You put whatever adjective in front of all-star that you want, and I want another all-star. I do. Because we don't have one.
Hasn't looked like a superstar this year, though. Or the last couple.
I ain't mad. They got rid of Reuben Bain. What's his name? Tyler Bain.
You didn't hear Reuben Bain's name much last night.
They double-teamed. I was, you know, I love watching him. They showed a lot of attention to him.
Oh, get out of here. The Canes only had one sack. You know why? Because the refs who were reffing last night, thank you for not throwing the flag at the end of the game, but the refs literally didn't know what holding was when the blue team was doing it. They did not know.
Was Mesidor, because I know he was hurt at the end. Is he hurt or?
I don't know.
Do we know anything?
He went back in later in the game, but his little spin move was real slow. Yeah.
By the way, Ira Winderman tweets out, expirings for Ja Morant? Possibly. Where? No. First round pick? Definitely not. Jaquez? Maybe, but only because of impending extension window. But even then, is it optimal tying up cap space for the next 3 years? The answer could be the Heat's true thoughts on a hero extension. Who are the expiring contracts that he's talking about there?
Terry Rozier would be one of them. Norman Powell would be the other. But, you know, to Ira's point, it's time to make decisions. Trade deadline's on February 5th. Do you want to pay Hero or do you not want to give him the extension that he wants? Do you want to pay Norman Powell at the end of the year? Because if you do, then you keep him. If you don't, as much as we all love Norman Powell, you can't let him walk for free with the year he's having. So, you know, this is genuinely a very difficult decision for the Heat. Like, it's time to make real decisions about the future, the trajectory that you're going on.
Is it a tough decision? I mean, they're mired in the middle of the conference like usual, and they're not really going to go anywhere else, are they?
And I know you call me a hater and all, but I think we've run our course with Tyler. Like you say, sometimes with head coaches, you run your course. I think
he's run his course with the Heat too. I feel like he's ready to get a fresh start. It'd be dope.
Okay, Tua.
Anything else before Gino?
We're all going to watch tonight's other semifinal game, the Peach Bowl. Indiana versus Oregon. Winner will play the Miami Hurricanes in Miami next Monday, the 19th. We'll do our full NFL playoff slate in the next hour.
All right, very good.
Your weather in South Florida, beautiful day. You better be enjoying it.
Better be. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, is going to join us next.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
No time left. No time left. Miami wins. Miami wins. We're going to the national championship.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah. That's how you bring on the Heisman Trophy winner. Gino Toretta's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Gino Toretta. The Heisman Trophy winner returns from Arizona and immediately joins us on the program. He joins us courtesy of the local 519 Plumbers Union in football and in life. It's about being on the right team. Join the winning team at local 519 Plumbers Union, a proven path to a strong career. Visit plumbers519.com. So you were there at the Fiesta Bowl last night. You're rooting on your Canes. What was it like before the game, leading up to it? And then what was it like during the game and after?
I would say before, it was a little bit of chaos. So I did an appearance outside for the Hall of Fame, did a little kind of Q&A out at the tailgate for Ole Miss and in Miami. And then I, you know, told some guy, I was like, all right, give me to the field. You know, I mean, I hadn't been to that stadium since the Statue of Liberty when Oklahoma and Boise State played in a bowl game there. I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was a long time. And so he runs me. I go out on the field, and it's just there was a ton of people on the sidelines from Ole Miss. And I guess where the tunnel they directed me through was their kind of locker room in and out and tunnel. So I was over there for a little bit, and they're like, hey, do you want to walk over towards your side? I'm like, well, I don't care. Where are we doing the interview? So we moved over in front of the student section for Miami, knocked that out, and then just kind of, you know, said hello. Obviously, all the dignitaries and Hall of Famers and everybody that supports Miami was on the sidelines. And Hawk, I got to say, listen, you know, in our day when we played in the bowl game, there wasn't a lot of Miami Hurricane fans in the stands. There might have been Miami Hurricane fans, but we would get drowned out by the SEC opponent. And the whole side behind Miami was Miami fans. I thought we traveled well, but it was great to see. I mean, I got to tell you this story. So the alumni that's on the field, and they're like, we're going to take a picture. So, all right, we all get together. We take a picture. And so Michael and Ray hadn't showed up yet. And so Ray comes, I give him a hug. I give Michael a hug, and they're getting the flag before they're taking it on the field. And, you know, I'm like sitting there and I kind of look around. I'm like, man, who's this white guy hanging out with Ray? I'm like, who is this dude with a hat? Like, who's his buddy? Like, who, you know what I mean? I just thought it was like a random friend, like Ray brought to the game. And I'm kind of like sitting there, and there was like some fireworks about to go off and stuff. And I'm like, all right, I got to kind of move. And I turn around, I look, I'm like, yeah, who is that? And I look, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Michael Phelps.
You know, I saw he was on the sideline.
And I'm just like, I looked at him, I'm like I was in awe. Like, my daughter's a swimmer, and obviously the Olympics, and just a stud. And I was just like, he had a hat on, like, it, and unless you really looked at him, and then everybody's taking pictures of Ray and Phelps, but I was just like, I was dying laughing, so I did.
Was he there with Ray Lewis?
Yeah, Ray and him are boys. Like, he had moved out there. Yeah, Ray and him are tight, because they, like, that's where he trained. Like, when he was younger, Bowman, his swim coach, was at Maryland Swim Academy. So they've been buddies for years, and Phelps moved out to Arizona with 2 years of competing life left. So he trained out there, and literally Ray called him on the way out there, and they hooked up, came to the game. Hell, he'll be on the sideline this week, because Phelps said he has to be in Miami next week. So he'll be on the sideline next week. So yeah, it was kind of cool. It was, you know, it's like, you know, I had to share some long suffering swim dad parent stories with him from sitting through all those meets with my daughter. But no, I thought that was the coolest of the pregame. And then I saw Worldwide Wes, who was close to guys when I was playing and that. So it was good. So like Eric Winston and Greg Olson, who I hadn't seen in a while, because they don't live down here. But yeah, it was some generations of Canes there on the field.
It's crazy. One of my starstruck stories, Gino, has Michael Phelps in it, which is the weirdest thing when you said his name, but he hangs with the brothers. I'll tell you, because mine was weird. I was at a Kanye West concert when he was young in music on South Beach.
Tells me a lot.
I look to my left, it's Young Jeezy and Michael Phelps. And everybody in the section might have been sharing a cigar of some type. And I was like, this is pretty damn cool. But it wasn't Jeezy that made me excited. It was seeing Michael Phelps. I'm like, man, that's Michael damn Phelps.
Then I'm like, hey, Channing, I was like, man, I'm bigger than him. I think I could have swam that fast. You know, I was like, I thought he was big, because your Florida guy, like, you know, Lochte is huge. Yeah. I mean, homeboy's like 6'4". wide shoulders, and I always thought Phelps was, you know, I knew he wasn't that big, but I always thought he was big, because man, when he get up on the blocks, he was dwarving people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was good dude. We shared some laughs, and that was pregame, and then I stayed down on the field for like the first quarter or so. I did something for the ACC network, and went up in the stands and saw some friends that went to school. I went up there. I had to see some friends that I went to school with. My wife's friends were in the stands, so I had to say hello. I missed the touchdown they scored, Ole Miss's first touchdown. I was like, what the hell happened? I literally went upstairs, and I heard a loud cheer.
Oh, the Lacy, like, touchdown?
Yeah. And the stadium still had the majority of Ole Miss, but, you know, we traveled, and I was like, all right, that can't be good. But I didn't think it was a touchdown. By the time I walked up a few flights of stairs to get up the first deck, it was 7-3, and then I made my way up to the Cardinals owner's box, and kind of enjoyed the rest of the game.
Yeah, because when he goes, oh, I went up to the stands. I went to sit in the stands.
I'll tell you what. So I do the appearance for the Hall of Fame, and they're like, yeah, the owner of the Cardinals is, you know, is going to get you some seats in the box. And I had some friends I went to high school with that lived out there. So I was like, hey, I'll meet you guys, I don't know, second quarter or something up there. I go up there. There's five of us in like a 30-person, fully stocked, fully catered box.
Come on.
And they're like, whatever you need. I'm like, you put down an empty water bottle. And it was like taken by, you know, by the, you know, the service. And because I was like, as I was going up there, I was like, man, is this going to be one of those awkward skybox things where there's like three people that don't know everybody else in the box and you really aren't comfortable watching the game? I'm like, hell, this is great. Nobody's here. I was like, man, if I had like a lazy boy, I might even catch a nap in here during halftime.
Can you get us that hookup for the 19th?
Well, the owner is, he's not the owner. I don't know, Stephen
Ross.
You're
more important to the owner here than the owner there.
Well, you got to talk to Channing. He's probably closer to Stephen Ross than I am.
I didn't make too many plays, Gino. You want a damn Heisman.
Oh, yeah. And the amount of text messages I got, so I just... If anybody knows me that's listening right now, just don't text me about tickets. I don't have any. I don't have.
They're for us.
They were already giving grief to Edgar, and I were on the sidelines talking, and he goes, "Well, I can buy more seats, right?" And the alumni rep goes, "Well, not more than two." He goes, "Come on, I'm buying. I'll pay for them." No, not more than two. We got.
It's gonna be the toughest ticket in a minute. We were talking about that, like. This is going to be, I mean, to have a national championship game at your home stadium.
Well, I mean, it's like the Orange Bowl. I mean, there's a significant number of our championships were at home in the Orange Bowl. I think that obviously what's going to make it hot, if Indiana wins, then you have the local Heisman Trophy winner coming home, and you're going to have the Columbus contingent, you're going to have the Berlin contingent, you're going to have everybody down here. In Miami that wants to go support the kid, even if they're not big football fans. He's a local kid that did good, and I think that's going to drive it up even more. And then, I don't know, our exit was pretty good after the game. My private jet crew and ride wanted to stay for the trophy celebration. So, I'd never seen a trophy celebration. Can't say that I really, you know, once the clock hit zero, I'd be poof. I'm out of there.
We may have just lost Gino and his connection.
Got some high-tech engineering degrees because we went the absolute different direction than every car pulling out of the parking lot. But I didn't realize they had already scouted out the area, and it was like a big loop. And we just totally like crossed like straight Miami driving across all these different lanes sideways. And got to the exited, and then went home, got some sleep. And
so you were on a private jet going and coming?
On the PJ.
Going and coming.
On the PJ.
The College Football Hall of Fame?
No. It was on Ben, our host. Ben was our host. It was his jet, his family's jet. So, the Hall of Fame would have flown me out there commercial. But since I already had a private ride, I opted for that one.
I gotta get connected with this guy. I mean, Ray Lewis is hanging out with the
little disappointing on the way out. It was a 288 mile headwind, so it took us. I mean, we didn't land until 12, so we had enough time to throw our bags in the room, and I took a quick shower. I had to get dressed for my appearance. They basically went how they were going to a game, so. And we rolled to the tailgate and had some good eating, and it was a
good
quick
to be a Heisman Trophy winner, man.
Successful
good to be a Heisman Trophy winner.
Man, I wish I was better.
Who do you think the Canes would match up better with? Does either team, Indiana or Oregon, scare you more than the other? And do you think the Hurricanes could get past either?
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I think it can get past anybody. I think there were times in the game where I was like, man, why aren't we just running the rock right at them? I mean, Fletcher was just a beast, and Brown was a beast. Like, they were on. Blocking was there. Ole Miss wasn't very big up front on either side. But they, obviously have skill guys. And I think we can do that against anybody. I would say we could probably do that more against Oregon, because I think Oregon's got more skill fast, and not necessarily the fronts that are the strongest. But Indiana's stout, man. Their old line's great. Their running attack is that would concern me. And I know you're going to say, well, they got a Heisman Trophy winner quarterback. I know that, but they're built on kind of the similar formation of us. Is they got two good tailbacks and they got a really good offensive line. And, it doesn't matter how good your offensive is if they can't get on the field. So I would think Indiana would probably be the toughest matchup. I think they're still favored for the championship based on whatever these odds makers say or whatever. I learned all about on the private jet ride. I learned all about contracts and some kind of, I don't know, some betting options where you can bet on Miami to win the game. And it's like 30 cents for the buck contract. I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the new markets, way that Kalshi they're skirting.
Something like Kalshi, that. I can do, right. Robin Hood.
So they're skirting online gambling laws by making them actually markets. So
the one guy on our plane, he bought when we were down three, he was buying us to win contracts for 30 cents. Yeah, so he made a buck at the end of it.
Instead of live betting at odds, which isn't legal everywhere, you're buying options. They run sports gambling, and it's not just sports, by the way. There's markets for everything on Kalshi.
I responded to him as he was telling me about his betting in game, and I'm like, do you know you have a problem, or do I need to tell you have a problem? I'm like, dude, we're out here as fans. I was like, okay.
Something's got to pay for that jet fuel. Good.
Two of my headwinds.
Extra gas to get home, right, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gino, were you surprised how good Carson looked or how good he played? Because it was 100-yard games. It was, they won Texas A&M. They won Ohio State, but it wasn't. You don't look back and say Carson was the guy. Carson really took over some parts of those games, especially in the fourth quarter, that last couple drives.
Well, I think that, going into that, I'm like, there's no way we can throw for 108 or 138 against Ole Miss, especially if they get in any kind of rhythm on offense. They snap the ball in under 20 seconds, and, they're going to score. And I thought he would have to play his best game. I thought he did make some great throws. I thought there were some unbelievable catches. You got to give props to those guys catching the ball. I mean, Malachi made some grabs. I think Brown made a catch out of the backfield. He spun around and man, he got 4 yards and he got lit up at the line of scrimmage. They all made plays. And it was great to see. And that last touchdown run, he was clutch on the last drive, the last touchdown run. I'm sitting there watching him. He goes through his progression because they bracketed Malachi and he goes to the right. And when he turned back left, I just said touchdown. And my buddy looks at me like frown. I'm like, dude, one guy's on the ground to D tackle. I go, nobody's over there with the formation. I go, he can walk in from there. I mean, heck, me at 55, I might have been able to score from right there. So no, but it was good to see. And I think, listen, like I've said every week, he's going to need to play that way or better against Indiana or Oregon, whoever it is. I mean, it gets harder with every game, every playoff game.
He didn't beat Georgia, but he finally got his moment, Gino. You were just talking about Mendoza and the Columbus contingency and that storyline. Is that the best storyline for the college football playoff? I'm not talking about matchup for Miami. I'm talking about storyline. It seems like the Canes have slayed every dragon. Oregon provides Cristobal to kind of get over that hump. And I know he'll downplay it, but what's the better storyline for sports fans? Is it Mendoza back in Miami against Miami, or is it Mario Cristobal with his new team finally proving he can win the big game going up against his former team?
I would think, and I don't want to dismiss either one of those. I think the most mileage is going to come from Miami, from Mario and a former Hurricane coming back and bringing him back. And I think that nationally, that's the story. It's not going to be, hey, he's taking on Oregon. Cause I mean, listen, my buddies out there, they were like, hey, where'd Mario come from? I go, well, he was in Oregon before, but I played with him. Like, oh, that's right. So I'm not so sure, you know, it's kind of like the East Coast, West Coast bias, you know, Oregon was or is a great team, but let's be honest, they're in Eugene, Oregon. And, you know, I mean, they don't pay attention to Oregon like they do at University of Texas or Oklahoma football. And I think nationally, that's the story is it's going to be for 11 days is Miami going to finish this off and be back. And I love Mario's line where he's like, we're here. We're not back. We're here. But I think that's going to be the storyline. At least I care about. I don't really care who they play. I think Mario and the players and the staff is like, bro, you got 60 minutes now to win a rock and put a national championship ring on your finger. And you don't care at this point. You're like, all right, what's the game plan? Let's start preparing. Guys that got banged up, man, they were hitting hard. They were hitting hard out there, and there were some guys playing through some injuries because you could tell a guy, you know, guys definitely had a stinger in his shoulder, and they're just like, they're trying to not let the officials see them, and they were playing through it. So whatever you need to do, right, Channing? It's whatever you need to do. You might need to go see the doctor, but you're going to be playing in this one.
You don't miss this game.
Yeah.
Channing went to a Santero, I believe, if I remember the story correctly. The tale of two stories here. On one side, I have Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winner. He's flying around in private jets. On the other side, I have Channing Crowder, who's at a Motel 8 in Bradenton, Florida, where his car is parked directly outside his front door, and he once sacked J.P. Lossman. So well, you have
you gotta watch it, Channing. I don't know if you know this, but those hotels like that you park right outside your door. Doesn't matter what city you're in, but law enforcement rolls through there and checks all the license plates. So if you got an expired tag or maybe some extra parking tickets from Gainesville that you didn't pay a long time ago or speeding tickets, you might have Johnny Law out there waiting for you.
People keep asking me what I got. I'm like, what do you mean? What do I have? What are you talking about?
I got a hotel room.
You still
just
got
like
the
you
spinners
do.
On your on your wheels.
What you got, huh?
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. You can hear him every week with us, courtesy of the local 519 Plumbers Union. With all the changes in how America does business, you can count on one thing. The union-trained plumbers of Local 519. Join a winning team today with Local 519 Plumbers Union, a proven path to a strong career. Visit plumbers519.com. Thank you, Gino. We'll talk to you next week. One more game to go.
Awesome. Anytime, guys.
Great to be a Miami Hurricane. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha happy hour's coming up. I forgot today's Friday. Today's Friday doesn't feel like Friday to me. So we got the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour coming up.
JP Lossman was elusive.
That's a sentence that has never been uttered before in the history of the world. No one has ever said that before. All right, we'll take a break. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha happy hour is next.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Beck holds his hands out, takes, drops, looks, wants the throw.
You got it.
Carson Beck into the end zone. He runs it in.